Hey, hey, psst. We've moved. This way, come on.
Nice.
Come on, come on. We're here. We're back. Come on in, new studio. Woo-hoo! Roll the title.
Hello, we're Woo. Back. Welcome. New studio, new surroundings, new lights, new cameras, same mics,
same
headphone thing, same three of us on the sometimes weekly, sometimes with four technical evangelists, IT pro and operations and DevOps show. We need to really refine that intro thing a little bit. But welcome back. It's been about just over a month since we were last here. July 14th was when we last published.
Lots of vacations and all kinds of things going
on. Yeah, stuff happening, conferences and travel and whatnot. But we're back and we've got lots of news that we can share with you about what's been going on in recent weeks, what we think is important across our areas of Azure, infrastructure, on-prem infrastructure and hybrid, DevOps and open source, and we've got some awesome announcements that are hot off the press in all of those areas today, or at least especially in open source. So, to kick us off, we need to spin our spinner.
Oh,
and we have a dongle.
We've got this fancy dongle today.
Good old dongle, and that's a display port, mini display port to HDMI.
And it is me.
Okay. Hit my cable there.
DevOps gets to start there.
Yeah. So let's start your timer. Each person has 5 minutes to tell their stories. So you're all set.
Okay.
Here we go.
Give me the beep.
Beep.
All right. There are quite a few releases in the Visual Studio Team Services space, so we'll start off with some of those. One of them notably that I get a request for a lot, which is being able to export and import different definitions, in particular release definitions. So there is now a marketplace extension for you to be able to do import and exports of your release definitions. This is super handy if you've got people with different Visual Studio Team Services accounts or you want to migrate from, let's say, TFS to VSTS, you know, have different people use different definitions so that you can have, you know, clone those release definitions and move them around. So that's one. The other is that the web app deployments or app services used to have a classic Azure connection in VSTS. Now you can use Azure Resource Management. Kind of handy so you don't have to set up multiple connections to the old classic stuff. All right. Next, there's in the next release, the July 29 release for VSTS, there's a couple notable improvements that I'd like to call out. One is the Azure Service Principle creation. Now, in the past, you'd have to go to a blog post, you could try and run a PowerShell script or go through a whole bunch of series of steps to create the service principle, which of course, that's what you should be using, you know, to authenticate to Azure and do things in this programmatic type of way. Now we have it's super easy, have your subscription there, type your connection name, and we just create the service principle and do all the magic behind the scenes for you. So, you know, nice. pretty nice
Makes
stuff.
Sounds easy.
Yes, it does. It does. Also, another one that we've had asked for quite a bit is rollback. So, you know, if you're out there and you release something to production, oh no, you know, the thing breaks. What's going to happen?
Happens.
Yeah, never.
Never.
Right.
In my environment,
right.
For sure.
No way. Right. So there's actually in our VSTS release management now, there's an ability to just roll back to a previous build or commit, and so you can just kind of push that back and reinitiate one of those steps, and then now you've kind of gone back to,
like,
to where you were
net.
Before.
Yeah.
That's nice. Right. That's kind of important as the IT ops people, you know, that you have that easy capability.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. So then let's see what else. Another thing, it's a pretty big announcement around the mobile desktop telemetry space. So we have this Hockey app thing, right? And Hockey app does a lot of things. So it'll get your telemetry and information around, you know, your mobile applications, whether that's iOS, Android, you know, Windows apps, those kinds of things. So you know, getting crash data analytics, but it also Hockey App, it also gives you kind of a private store. So makes it super easy for you to be able to, you know, deploy to an actual a device, right? So you could have the Hockey App on your phone, and, you know, with VSTS or other means, you can automatically take your builds, push them to the Hockey App service. That then now shows up on your phone. This is not an app. It's kind of like a private app store, right? Yeah. For your deployments.
I've actually, as a consumer of that on my phone, for the Outlook dog food. So every couple of days they release a new build. I'm presuming using the tools you mentioned.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
When I log into Outlook on my phone, it just pops up and says new build, show, and it takes me to the Hockey App and it says install, and then I'm done within a normal app update time frame. So it's as a consumer of that, it's pretty streamlined.
Yeah, it's pretty slick. I mean, it's great for, you know, if you have any mobile apps to be able to get early dog food, early testing, you know, get the crash data before you release it to your broader set of users, right? So so the challenge, though, it has been, or the overlap has been with App Insights. So in the past, we've had App Insights have a we said, hey, that's for mobile apps too, for instrumentation and performance and diagnostic data. Well, now we're kind of starting to see, I'd say, a more cohesive story between Hockey App and App Insights. There's a diagram here which you can pull up on the screen here. It should pop up here on the screen.
It will.
Power of editing. That's right, power of editing. So you know, it just gives you some guidance on, you know, what should you do for your diagram, right? So, you know, if you have an existing application in App Insights, you know, now there's a way to link to Hockey App and continue to use the data for the export, right? And then if you have an existing app in Hockey App, then you can link it to App Insights to get additional data. So the easiest way to wrap your head around this thing is App Insights is linked with Hockey App, and the value that App Insights adds is a lot of additional telemetry data. Oh, okay.
The cow.
So the cow
you
killed me.
You started till finish.
Yeah. So App Insights really gives you, you know, the ability to really dive deep into the data that is being generated from your phone, like with Hockey App. So that's the best way to put it. You know, Hockey App, if you start there, ideally, you can link it to App Insights, and that can give you that rich data and analysis on the data that's being generated.
Nice.
So
cool. Yeah. Excellent. Right. Should we spin, or do you want me to go with one of mine and then you go and then I'll go last?
Okay, I'll go. No, you
go. You maybe you got to spin.
Okay.
We'll spin it then.
All right.
That's you.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. I'm going to do both of mine now. I'm only kidding. People can't handle 10 minutes of me nonstop. So 5 minutes, I'm going to do Azure first, and then I'll do on-prem stuff because there's quite a few announcements in Azure. So here we go. Beep. I've got my own camera. I'll come this way a little bit. Shuffle over. The power of pre-setup production here. That was seamless. And I've wasted 8 of my seconds. So when it comes to choosing a cloud platform for your stuff, you know, where you want to run it, whether it's Windows, whether it's Linux. And Oz is going to talk about some cool Linux announcements shortly. But you want to choose a platform that's right for you, that gives you the right options going forward for hybrid across on-prem and cloud, and also gives you the features and functionality, not only across VMs, because that's what most people think of when they think, I'm going to go to the cloud or just move some VMs, but also across other platforms like PaaS and SaaS platforms. And Azure has been recognized by Gartner as a cloud computing leader. So if you think about the Gartner Magic Quadrant, right up in the top right there, not only for IaaS, which it has been for a couple of releases, but also PaaS and SaaS. And there's a great blog post that details some of the key areas where we are leading in those respective Magic Quadrants. So if you're interested in and you pay attention to those Gartner Magic Quadrants in terms of decisions you make in your IT environment, then it's certainly a useful blog post to read just on how we've made that leap to getting into the leadership quadrant in each of those areas. So sticking with Azure, obviously, general availability, and this was a request of David, you're like, you need to talk about this. Get people off the old classic services model in Azure and onto Resource Manager, because it opens up so much more granularity, control, automation, just an incredibly much more powerful solution. And it aligns with Azure Stack as well, which from an on-prem side of things is very important. And there's a great blog post. It's from towards the end of June, actually, but we want to make sure it's front and center when you're thinking about, I've got stuff in Azure, the old model, I need to move this into the new model. How do I do it? Firstly, it's IaaS migration only at this stage, from Classic to Resource Manager. There's a blog post, there's a video starring our very own ex-technical evangelist, Rick Claus, and lots of links to the resources as well on how you do it. And I actually went through this process with my WordPress blog, which runs in an Ubuntu VM. It was in Classic, it had Classic backup, and so I had to consider a lot of different things before in terms of prereqs, but then I moved it using the tool, moved over easily, and didn't take very long either. So hopefully you didn't notice with my blog being down for a little while.
I'm sure everybody did, but there's so much more goodness in the Azure RM. We won't even go there, but like one thing, infrastructure as code, having a JSON template.
Yep.
Done.
Boom.
Right.
Drop.
There you go.
Yep. So that was a hat tip to that migration tool. If you've not used it, just create you can still create VMs in Classic to try it out, can't you? I think Classic is still available to create a VM, then you can see what the migration actually looks like for yourself. But there's loads of demos and stuff online as well. So classic.
PC way of saying old.
No comment. Yeah. But sticking with new, and N for new, is the new Azure N Series preview availability, which we announced earlier in August. These N Series VMs are packed with incredible graphics horsepower. So using the latest NVIDIA cutting edge GPUs to allow you to run stuff in Azure VMs that requires graphic acceleration, so GPU acceleration. There's three different types of VMs, NC6, NC12, NC24, so you can, there's actually more, there's NV6, NV12, NV24 as well. You can check all of those out on the blog post. I'm running out of time, that's why I'm rapidly going through this. But one example of early adopters who've been using this is BAFTA and Emmy award-winning studio in London, Jellyfish Pictures. So they've been using it for a lot of their rendering of their work that they produce in Azure. So awesome stuff, definitely worth a read. If you're wanting to run some super powered graphic related stuff in Azure, they're the most powerful graphically enabled VMs in the cloud. Not just in Azure, obviously in Azure, but across all clouds. So real great innovation and partnership with organizations like NVIDIA. So the final thing that I wanted to talk about with Azure was something that you were mentioning before around telemetry and insights and getting know when things are going wrong or things are happening, and it's around Azure Backup, and there's new alerting and monitoring capability. And this was the top voted idea on the user voice, which is how you can feed back to Microsoft and say, I'd like this service to do this, or I'd like this product to have this feature, whatever it may be. It's now in there. So you can get much more insight without actually staring at the screen into what's going on with Azure Backup, whether your backups have failed, how long they've taken, all that kind of useful stuff and insight. And there's it's a preview release, so you have to enroll your particular subscription into that. But there's guidance on the blog on how to do that and a couple of videos to help you along the way as well. And I actually, when I moved my Classic VM over to Azure Resource Manager, I then also took advantage of the Azure Backup for that Linux VM, and it's just seamless, so easy. And now I know that my machine, my VM, is being backed up every week for the next X number of years, and it will keep, from a retention perspective, for a long time. So if I want to go back to my blog in 99 years' time, we can look back fondly and know that it was backed up. I'll pass it down to my children and my children's children. I'll say, look, you need to bring up this blog. Right, that's me. That's 5 minutes on Azure. So we'll go to you.
Okay.
Are you ready? Yeah, get central. I think you're looking you're looking reasonable.
Well,
I nearly said you're looking good, but
You'll notice that August is in black behind.
Yeah. I thought it was some special video editing effect, but it was in fact just the color of the wall. But we'll not talk about that.
No, I have a special wall.
Yeah. The mood wall.
Just for me, yeah.
Right. Excellent. Right. Dark theme. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Your 5 minutes starts.
So I'm going to start with the blog post titled PowerShell is open source and is available on Linux.
Woo!
Thank you. That's all from me. I don't have to talk about anything else.
No, out.
Yeah, I'm out. So I was just caught kind of off guard this morning coming when I'm coming to the office, just, you know, checking AzureBlog. It's like, what?
You're saying you don't prepare for this weeks in advance?
I prepare on the way to the office, yes, right. Not in the office. Wow. You know?
As soon as I got in here, Ogus was like, have you seen the news announcement? And I was like, no. And then he just turns his Mac over to me, and he goes, hits enter. And it goes, boop, PowerShell. And I'm like, what?
His mind was blown.
Yeah, exactly.
I knew yesterday, but just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. He knew yesterday, but he didn't tell us.
Yes. Well, I was filming till late. Okay. Anyway, carry on.
Okay. So it's really, PowerShell is open source and is available on Linux and, of course, Mac. For Linux, it's initially available on Ubuntu, CentOS, and Red Hat. And for Mac, I don't know the exact version, but it works on my MacBook. The installation is just to install the package. It's not different from installing anything else in your Linux or Mac machines. And it feels really strange because you open your terminal, you type PowerShell, as David said, hit enter, and you're in a PowerShell command.
Yep.
And I haven't had a chance to try everything, but you can learn about the version. You know, you can get your working directory. Everything just works, and it's awesome.
It's still only an alpha as well at this point in time.
Exactly. It's in alpha stage, so it's community supported now. It's not Microsoft supported now, but since it's on GitHub, everybody's more than welcome to just create PRs and, you know, contribute to the project. Mm. I think it's alpha, but this is a clear thing that how Microsoft is, you know, embracing open source. I mean, it's not just like Microsoft loves open source, Microsoft heart, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
We are really working on this. And I feel like the door is open, so open now. So it's not, nobody's going to be able to close it back. So
right.
This is my message to our next CEO. I'm sure
that's not an announcement on a new CEO there.
No. It's just saying as an open source person, I'm really liking the company, where the company is directing. And the reasoning behind this is all the companies were asking, okay, we have these Windows machines, we have these Linux machines, and we need to have a single management platform. For Linux, we were using Bash, for Windows, we were using PowerShell, but you should have two different teams, two different, you know, skill sets. Now it's more blending. We're not saying that, okay, you're not going to need to use Bash anymore, but it's like, here's the option.
There's still going to be specific Linux skills that are required, but exactly, PowerShell unifies that management.
Exactly. You know, and now we also have Bash support on Windows 10, so it's like giving the people the option to run whatever they like in whatever platform. And this is not just for running scripts or stuff. For example, OMS, I don't know if you're going to talk about this, but
I might do.
Okay. For example, for inside OMS, you can use this to manage your endpoints. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to have a different product, etc.
Yeah.
So for the details, you can just go to the blog post. But one thing I also want to mention is PowerShell remoting protocol is also being extended. So you will have the option to use WinRM or OpenSSH.
Again, it's flexible.
It's flexible. Yeah.
Yep. Cool. And on that blog post, there's loads of links to videos. So we recorded one with Jeffrey Snover as well, which gives people a lot of insight. And it's packed with six demos, not just from Microsoft people. So demos on Azure, Docker. What else did we show? One with Python, REST, and JSON, native Linux management. But we also had videos embedded within this overall video from Amazon. A guy from Amazon did some stuff, and VMware as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it benefits a lot of people, this whole open sourcing and PowerShell on Linux.
Yeah. Another thing is Docker for Azure beta. So Docker announced this in DockerCon. It's been a while. So finally, I received my invitation, and in the links you will find a blog post from one of our team members, William Buchwalter. It's basically an easy way to deploy the Docker Swarm cluster into Azure. You were able to do this by using an ARM template. This is, again, also an ARM template, but it's making things a lot more easier. And easier, I mean, it takes like 5 minutes to deploy a fully functional Docker Swarm cluster into Azure.
There we go.
So
deploy it now.
Okay, that's it for me.
Cool. So I'll go last. I'll do 5 minutes on-prem stuff. Hopefully I've got 5 minutes of material, but and then we'll wrap up. So here we go, 5 minutes starting. Now, here we go, back to me. So for on-prem this week, Azure Stack went quiet for a while. People have had their hands on Technical Preview 1 for a little while, been doing loads of cool stuff with it, trying it out, experiencing what it's like to build and run applications on Technical Preview 1 on that single node solution. But just recently, earlier in August, we published a blog post that highlighted and outlined just where we're going forward with Azure Stack, and more specifically around Technical Preview 2, because a lot of people have been saying, when is it? It's been a while. We want TP2. So TP2, we've not announced a date specifically. We expect to release it later this year, calendar year. We've started rolling it out to some early adopter customers. So we're getting feedback from there and working with them on their solutions. One key announcement was in relation to questions around integrated systems. So anybody who's familiar with cloud platform system knows that you buy the solution and it includes hardware, software from Microsoft and partners, and you roll it into your data center. With Azure Stack, we're taking a similar approach, and a video with Chris Van Wessup, my old boss, and Vijay Tiwari from the Azure Stack team talks about some of the vision and rationale for the use of integrated systems for Azure Stack. So to be clear, Azure Stack in its first release will ship on hardware. It will ship from Dell, HP, and Lenovo as a starting point, so you'll buy it on tin, and that may change going forward, that may expand. And we'll broaden support for a more diverse hardware ecosystem going forward. So definitely worth a read. They also talked about integration between WAP, the Azure Pack, and Azure Stack, the next gen. And so we are working on solutions that enable you, if you've got an investment in WAP, to still utilize those side by side from with Azure Stack and manage them from a central location. So
will
we
still be able to run it for POCs on commodity hardware?
Good question. My understanding, don't quote me on it, is that it will still be able to be used for POCs, like a single node solution. But if you're for a production multi-node configuration, the integrated systems are going to be the way to go. But we'll be able to clarify that as we go forward. And the video will give more insight into that as well. So, we've got Azure Stack, sticking with the next gen platform, Windows Server. We announced at the blog post that it will be available at Ignite this year. So we're planning to launch at Ignite conference in September, of which you and I will not be there because we are expecting little ones independently, not together.
Good combination. Good to clarify that one. Well, I guess, yeah.
Everybody is wondering, really?
Yeah, they're having a baby together.
It's a team effort.
No, it's just a rumor. So three main editions, Data Center Edition of Windows Server 2016, Standard and Essentials, and the blog post details what you can expect from each of those. The key differences between Data Center and Standard, things like shielded VMs are in Data Center Edition, certain software-defined storage and software-defined networking features are only in the Data Center Edition as well. Now, there are three installation options for those for Standard and Data Center as well. You can do the server with a desktop experience, the one that many of you are familiar with, GUI, just looks like Windows, great for remote desktop services, consistent with the Windows 10 Anniversary Edition, and has MMCs and Server Manager and all that stuff. There's the Server Core, which many of you will have perhaps tested and tried historically. That's still there. That can be managed remotely, as well as PowerShell for local and remote. But then there's also NanoServer, which is the third installation option. Now, the blog post also details servicing guidelines, because traditionally, when a Windows Server releases, 5 years support and then 5 years extended support after that. So 5 years mainstream plus 5 years extended. That's going to stay with Windows Server 2016, and customers who choose to install the full Windows Server with a desktop experience or Server Core will continue down that path, 5 plus 5. That's going to be known as the long-term servicing branch. However, if you choose the Nano Server installation as your installation of Windows Server, and it's not a different thing you buy, you just choose at deployment time, that will move into what we call the active servicing model, similar to what people are having with Windows 10. So there'll be periodic releases that we call current branch for business releases, CBB, and the blog post details all of this. So if you want to move at a more rapid cadence, a cloud cadence, deploying Nano is a great platform because it's very small, very specialized, and you'll be able to keep up with the deployments quickly. Software assurance will also be required to deploy and operate Nano Server in production, so something to bear in mind as well. So the blog post goes into how often we expect to release new feature updates and that kind of stuff. And yeah, definitely worth checking out overall. And the final thing in my final 10 seconds, I'll link to a blog post around the operations management suite and links in with Azure Security Center. Azure Security Center is a central place to monitor your security stuff within within Azure. OMS is bringing a lot of that into the management platform, and you can check it out in a video on Microsoft Mechanics. So that's all from us this week. Thanks for joining us in episode 26, and we shall see you again in episode 27 soon.
Reach out to us at the ops team.
Yeah, the usual stuff. At Matt McSpirit, at
DTZAR,
at Ospostermager.
Nice. See you later.